bowels of One Half Radio Plaza at Life Media Studios.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to Real Country Radio.
Congratulations, Detroit. You can be thoroughly ashamed of yourself. The homicide toll has reached a nice even 750. Details on the latest leveling from Police Sergeant...
Coming up now, we're going to start off the set with...
In the morning.
Bucket Blitz Tigers could use this guy's talent.
Have you had time to get ready?
I don't waste any time getting ready. I stay ready.
And my ability to stay ready is literally up until like this minute. I was doing show prep even while that was playing because it's been one of those weeks.
100% agree. It has been the longest week friggin' ever.
Yep. I left my driveway at 6:30 a.m. on Tuesday, and I got back in it about 90 minutes ago. So,
where all have you been?
1,300 miles and never left the state. Most of it spent north doing the day job. And I will tell you, if I never see a pine tree again before Christmas, it'll be too soon.
Okay, that's fair.
There is not much to see up there.
How far north? You must be.
And I know like people like it.
And further.
I had an agent business seminar in Grand Rapids on Tuesday. And then from there, I went to the Sioux to visit my son, stayed the night there, and then started working my way back. I've been I basically did a giant X across northern lower Michigan from Traverse City down to like Lupton, back up to Alpena, and then back down to Howard City, and then home.
Yeah, well. That's kind of the bass-ackwards way to get from one place to the other.
It was, but for what I had to do and the time I had to do it, it was the best way to break it up and make it a reality. I was never going to get it all done in one day, and I didn't want to leave myself hanging out with like some weird outlier that I still needed to get to 2.5 hours across the state, which was unavoidable in the case of one. But anyhow, it was just the best breakdown that I could get.
Well, you're home now.
I'm learning logistics and route planning when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah, it sounds like it. So for those of you wondering, Cody is chasing hurricanes.
Again.
Again, yes, again. And Adam took a weekend. So you got the two of us, and that's it. So we're going to try and entertain you.
Yep, Cody may check in at some point, depending on his ability to get internet, which he succeeded in doing when he was on the last one in Louisiana. So,
right. He said something about Louisiana being far more civilized than Houston or something.
That and, he's on the...
Sounds like fighting words to me, but whatever.
I talked to him on the phone yesterday, and he said the side he's on is more civilized than the other side for this one as well. So if you're in Tampa, I'd take those as fighting words too.
I suppose probably so. He got to hang out with Ryan Milliken for a few days, maybe an hour or two.
Hour or two, yeah. You got to see Nitrous car on the dyno and see the updates on the Nova and some other cool stuff that are in his garage, and that'll be coming out at No Mercy here in a couple weeks in Georgia, assuming this hurricane doesn't literally wash it off the map.
Is South Georgia Motorsports Park in the right in the crosshairs?
It was at one point. It's in South Georgia. I mean, Valdosta is not very far off the Florida Georgia line, and you know it's right along I-75. So,
Okay. That's no good.
No.
For those of you, none of you who happen to be watching from down there, or maybe some of you, we're pulling for you.
Yep.
For the best.
Yeah, I don't know where it's going to wind up. If it winds up in the Carolinas, which I think we do have some people who watch, I'm definitely praying for you all because you have been bombed with water. You can't really take any more rain no matter where you try to shove it. Mm-hmm. And if the other direction, it sounds like it goes west of you, same for those of you in Tennessee and Kentucky. Sounds like it's going to park itself over you for a couple of days. And you know, your topography is not that much different and just as awful when it comes to that. You know, there's the dams can only hold back so much before you got to turn everything loose.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's already played a little bit of havoc with Jeremy's deal, right?
Wagler's? Potentially. Yeah, potentially it will.
I think I saw a cancellation a postponement.
Oh.
I think I saw that just before I put my phone away to start unpacking my briefcase and get things set up.
Interesting. I had not.
That may be the case. I don't know. Carrie, if you're on and you're watching,
make that is true. Speak up. It has been postponed 1 week. It will now be October 5th and 6th. So everything, the fall nationals, which includes the truck show, the no prep drag racing and the sled pulling and the motocross racing as well, will be postponed 1 week to October 5th and 6th. So breaking news. All right. I did not know that. Good catch.
Yeah. Well,
I've been pounding out miles, so I haven't been online at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, Tim, that's not going to happen for me.
It won't for me either.
Might for Cody by hook or by crook, but.
There we go. That works, Brett. That sucks, but it works.
Probably the right thing to do there, just to be safe. I don't know what the latest forecast model even is for it. Stupid things make a mess.
Yes, they yeah, do.
Yeah, the current one does have it actually avoiding the Carolinas and going to the west. So South Indiana could be a problem in terms of being able to manage the water on the site. So I get it.
Mm-hmm. Side note, if any of you folks from Southern Indiana happen to see Ralphie the Antique Guy in an inflatable rowboat, don't send me photos. We're no longer friends.
Poor Ralphie.
So let's get into it. What you got on your mind today?
Well, actually, before I got into the randomized agenda that I had, I kind of wanted to start here because I honestly don't remember what the question was. So throw that in there and maybe we tackle that first, whatever it is.
That works.
Because it may dovetail with what I had scribbled down, or we may just say, you know, that's nuclear and I'm not touching it tonight because I can't devote the brain power, but we'll see.
Or Dylan, if you want to just get on with us.
Or that.
Give me a thumbs up and I can pass you the link. You can hop on right from your phone.
Boy, we got a bunch of thumb people checking in.
I noticed this. We got a whole bunch of Michigan peeps. That's a good thing.
Yeah, take it. Well, while Dylan does that, we'll let's just dispense with some minutia. The thing that I was reading actually while the intro was playing tonight is that there's been a rebranding that's going to take place and. Everybody kind of knows the story, I would think, at this point, about the 1985 split that led to International Harvester Ag Side going into being a part of Case IH, and then the truck division carrying on as Navistar. They are retiring the Navistar name, and it is going to be rebranded as International Trucks LLC. IH is dead. Long live IH.
Amen.
It's pretty... sad to read a story here a few weeks ago about there is a museum space occupying the old IH Tech Center for the truck division in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I guess the property has been sold and they're looking to demolish it. And the contents of said building, I guess, are supposed to be moved to a new facility so it can still be enjoyed east of there. I forget the suburb on the east end of town there. But anyway, there's supposed to be a space dedicated to that. To sort of bring it back. But one of the neat things was about the original place is where it was not only was it actually a tech center for International Harvester with dyno cells and whatever, you know, limited run manufacturing capabilities to prove something out in a small test track in the back. But the way the architect designed the place, if you looked at it from Google Maps, and you can still find it, it vaguely does resemble the IH logo from the sky.
Nice. But
I guess now it's going to be... Actually, I heard that they wanted, the county, I guess, wants it for, guess what? What are the only things we build new anymore than the hospitals?
Jails. Oh.
You know, any banks, they're closing them.
Out here, we still got them going up, man.
Do you?
I don't know where the money's going to fill them. We're coming from to fill them, but...
There's a lot of vacant ones around here. All the new fad in Michigan, now that weed is legal here, and God bless you for partake. That's not my gig, but drive-through weed shops.
That's a thing in Missouri, too.
And shoot it out through the tube to you. Dollar General.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're building those new, that's for sure.
No, that's a thing in Missouri, too. There's a shop that's right at, I think it's the first exit, coming down 35 from Iowa. And I stopped to get gas on my way down to McClouth at the Loves right across the street. And oh my goodness, if ever there was an area that needs a stoplight, like a legit stoplight in an intersection, it was that place. That place was crawling with people. Like line, you know, like drive-through line. It was like around the block. It was wild. Like, boy, I'm growing the wrong stuff. We're growing tomatoes and basil on our porch or on our deck, or at least we were until about 40 minutes ago. And boy, we really missed the boat on this.
Well, yeah, for sure. Out in the middle of nowhere today, rolling through Edmore, Michigan. No one knows where that is because no one would.
I do.
And here's this beautiful new building with two air conditioning units that are probably spinning the electric meter like a windmill and an M6 competition coupe in the parking lot. Wonder what they do there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. They're a lifestyle brand now, you know?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you know what? There's some guy marketing that way on billboards around Metro Detroit now. You know, if you're into that stuff, really? try the Mark Sovaya collection. Who the hell is he? And why should I care?
We're showing our age. Back in the day, it was, you know, if that were ever to happen, it would have been Be Real and DJ Muggs and Send Dog from Cypress Hill on the billboard.
Yeah, and you wouldn't be buying the Mark Sovaya collection. You'd be buying it down in the corner from some guy you'd never know his name.
Uh-huh, and you'd see him, like, yeah, maybe once a month.
Yeah. Get your bag from Gloves down in the corner.
That's right. That's right. Mick says that they even deliver free. And wow, that's impressive.
DoorDash, so you don't have to. It's probably smart, honestly.
No, it's WeDash. WeDash. So you don't have to.
Maybe there's the business.
I got dad jokes.
Maybe there's the business move, the tangential business opportunity to this.
What, sidetracked as a lifestyle brand for weed?
No, just a delivery.
Shaped like Mitas or what?
Yeah, gummy shaped like Mitas. Yeah, actually, yeah, we could maybe do that.
The Mayhill cut will be of different strength than the Mark Hawthorne cutter.
No, it'd be
we could go down this road a long ways.
The 10 ply versus the 8 ply.
There you go.
How stone do you want your sidewall to get? Oh, we are going down a rabbit hole on that one.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Hey, yeah, I know your boss. I'm not going to do that because I don't want him to call me and say, hey, I pay him to work for me, not talk to you.
But here he is listening and texting us anyway.
Perhaps true. His boss is a pretty good guy. But I don't know how to really approach that or answer it.
Yeah, I haven't done... I tend to do this every year in the fall. I'll kind of go back through and sort of look at how the season played out in terms of results and then and the points, and also look at what
we went there
entry looked like.
Thanks, Philip. Thanks, Phil. Anyway, go ahead. Sorry.
You know, it's probably better if you're a consumer of this program on the audio only version than the visual. I'm just saying, because if you can read, you get a whole different insight of what this is. Anyway, what I was going to say is, like, I usually kind of go through and go down them and look at numbers, but also look at crossover and kind of when it happened and who tended to be up in points in a certain organization and decided to make a commitment there and chase with one side or the other and what turnout was like and stuff like that, based on what I seem to remember the season in terms of parts availability and things like that. But the last 3 weeks, really, since the season ended, I haven't had the opportunity or time to do that yet. So I probably don't have a fair assessment of where I think things wound up at. I mean, my gut check says that things ended mostly where I would have expected them to. So if there's like a surprise revelation about it, I haven't uncovered it yet. And my finger on the pulse hasn't told me of one. That's just spitballing on it right now.
Yeah. And I'm not sure that I don't know. I hit two organizations. Well, two of the majors, PPL, and I did get in two Outlaw Hooks. I felt like overall numbers were okay-ish.
Some of the bigger shows I was pretty impressed with, you know, and granted it was certainly anecdotal because I had my feet on the ground there for a while, but you know, like Rockwell and Bowling Green, but those events seem to always be rather well attended any longer. So maybe they're not a fair barometer of where things are necessarily.
Yeah.
I agree. Kyle, you know, the season did start with some empty holes there. That's true. It got better as it went.
For the most part, I think we had, you know, out here, the notable exception was Light Pro. We did not have much in the way of Light Pro. There's a handful of guys who were, you know, moving over to component chassis. One took a year off. You know, just things happen, life gets in the way, and that's okay. And I mean, that's perfectly acceptable.
I don't think your experience at Light Pro was unique to yourself. I think out here it was light numbers here as well.
Was it?
Okay. Yeah, I don't exactly have my finger on the pulse again as of why. I mean, I know there's some guys trying to do the component thing, but I mean, geez, if you were in Indiana or Ohio even just a handful of years ago, it wouldn't be abnormal to have a night where 28 or 30 of them were there, and it's not the case anymore.
Right. Like I hit a couple of IPL shows and had, I think we had, and Richard, you can feel free to correct my math here, but I think we had 10, maybe 12, both nights that I was there. And they put on a good show, but you know, I mean, no, it was not the 22, you know.
Right. Yeah, they usually bring a good show, and there's no doubt of that.
Yep, and they did. Kyle, what classes started low for you guys that filled out as you went along? Kyle, if you want to jump on, you're more than welcome. I'll text you the link.
Yeah, Wyatt, I agree. Parts availability is still a problem for many, and I don't. we've been saying that. We were saying it before COVID. It became a convenient excuse to blame it on COVID, but that's just not the case any longer.
Very. Like
you're just waiting now for, it doesn't matter what it is. Our manufacturing demand outstrips our capacity to do it right across the board. You know, I do see various companies who specialize in the motorsports industry making investment in their program by building more machines, building out their facilities and capabilities, but there still is way more people who want something than those who can make it for you.
Yeah. 37 two-wheelers in national points chase. Oof.
Yeah. Yep, it did get wild in the two-wheelers. And really, for a stretch there, the minis have been that way for a handful of years. The minis were pretty filled up as well.
Yeah. Minis were fairly strong this year. I suppose that's kind of par for the course, but
yeah, we went through that phase, that blow up of it around like 17 or 18, where it was like everybody was getting a mini.
Yep. Yep.
And I can see the appeal of it. They're a wild ass ride. You don't need a semi to move one. Driveline is relatively reliable. You just really better like cutting tires.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mick, clutch discs. That's not just a pulling problem. That is everybody. Being able to get them and have them be any sort of consistency. I mean, you got nitro teams, drag race teams, literally buying pallets of them at a time and discarding half of them before they even put them in the car.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's gotten kind of stupid.
There was something that there was a bad batch of early in the year. I remember you and me and Dusty talking about it.
I don't remember now.
Remember, was it like lifters or rockers or something?
You know, I do seem to remember something about rockers, I think.
I don't remember. Yeah, but I remember there were a handful of guys that were really, down for the count in multiple of the automotive style engines that were having a hard time keeping motors together and stuff like that. But I think it was during early season or maybe even indoor season when we still had snow on the ground.
Yeah. You know what? I want to say, even, correct me if I'm wrong, Mick, didn't you have a problem with them too? You have a problem hearing me, just out of curiosity?
I was. Yeah.
This piece of shit's doing something stupid again like it did before. Hold, please.
Rockers. All right. So there we go. So Charles is feverishly fiddling with things and potentially beating things with a hammer. I don't know that that's going to help with audio equipment, but it is what it is. Marie, I don't care what day of the week is. We can always talk bourbon. How was Bourbon Fest? That was, what, 2 weekends ago?
That is so annoying when that happens. I'm not going to lie.
When the glass has a hole in it, or when the audio equipment screws up?
When that shit screws up, I don't know.
Oh. Anyway. Well, Marie had fun at Bourbon Fest.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm sure it was a terrible time.
Yep. It was a horrible time. Even if it rained, it'd be a horrible, horrible time, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Just awful.
Marie, believe me, I have thought very long and hard about it, and if it weren't for the fact that my brother-in-law and sister-in-law and Kara and I have done we've done one bourbon weekend in Kentucky, and I would have called an audible, and we would have gone out there for it. But Tad, in the beginning of the summer, my brother-in-law stepped on a toothpick and it inserted itself into the bottom of his foot. And yeah, so they finally got it out about 2.5 weeks ago, and he's hurting right now. He's on a, he's on one of the I've broken my body kind of mobility scooter deals. The the little, not the battery operated ones, the other ones, the little kick scooter thing,
the little knee scooter thing.
Getting hurt, huh?
The knee scooter deal?
That's the one.
Yeah.
He's basically a bat out of hell now on that thing. He's getting back to normal, but it's going to take a while. He did this during, I think he stepped on it sometime in April. It was at I think it was at their place on the lake, in Lake Ozark. And at the time he was busy traveling for work, and then Kara's dad died. So he was making a couple of trips up here, yada, yada, yada. Time gets away, and suddenly here it is, September, and, or maybe it was August. I don't know, but they caught it before the leg turned gangrenous.
I was going to ask if you got as far as it being infected and having those.
It did. It did a couple of times.
When you step on stuff or smash a toe, you need to take care of it. Jake Zaring.
We're dudes. We're stubborn ass people.
No, there's stubborn ass people, and then there's Jake.
Mm-hmm. That's also true.
Yeah.
Moose, saw your comment. Yes, we can. We will. Remind me. So
I'll make a note of it. We'll make sure we hit it before the thing's over. Because I actually don't know. Well, I don't know what he's referring to. So,
what's in your glass tonight? Phil wants to know.
Basil Hayden's.
Really?
Yeah.
Toasted? Or the regular one?
Regular one. No, it's a regular one.
All right. I just drained a glass of toasted. So
nice.
I never drink Basil Hayden's. It's weird.
I'm a sucker for high rye mash bills.
Uh huh. Well, the toasted is nice. It's got some nice kind of caramely sweetness on the end. So I'm not a huge high rye fan.
No, I know.
Old Granddad bottled in bond is awesome.
I know you like the Weeded's more. I don't seem to get along with them for whatever reason.
Yeah, you and Cody can drink together. I'll just sit in the corner. Do we That's want to on talk the list. About Mike's question?
Yes, we can, because it was on the list. That was on the list for sure. I think it's a great concept, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what becomes of it and what the excitement is surrounding it. I endorse the idea of it being a thing. I know Lynn, Indiana, on a smaller scale, is discussing doing something similar toward the tail end of next season as well for their event. Yep. I will say I think it only works on a one or two per year kind of a deal. A lot of the thoughts about it becoming a situation where the competitors themselves are just changing money in between themselves is a fair criticism of the concept when you try to broaden it across multiple events. If you're gonna do that, then there's no reason to even back the iron out of the trailer. They can all just drop the ramps and play high card until somebody's got all the money. No reason to even start anything. But as a one-off or a two-off or maybe even three, if you do it regionally right, and even spread the classes around so there's an equal opportunity there, I think it is a situation where you are now driving attention and excitement toward the sport. We've seen it all happen with the drag racers. We've seen it with the roundy-round dirt racers especially, where you throw that flyer out that X amount of dollars are going to get paid out and there's enough commas in the sheet. Eyeballs fall to it, and sooner or later, sponsorship money is bound to as well. a gentleman locally that I know that has been a drag race promoter for a lot of years, just did a deal at a local drag strip paying $100,000 to win at his show. And he's already teased it out there that next fall, it's going to pay $200,000 to win cash. I need to talk to Jay, and I'm just fascinated to understand how he raised the money to do this. That's the first thing. How did you grind that out? Because it isn't just the entry fees alone are not enough to do it. It wouldn't even come close to touching what he's paying out for that sort of deal. But yeah, I like seeing it. I'm seeing other events that that kick in big money, even just on one class or an extra on one class, and really it all kind of started with Jeremy Wagler with that. What was the first one? Was it 25,000 to win on that pro stock deal, or was it 30?
20.
It was 20. Okay, a handful of years ago, kind of really started that, and so I do like it. In his case, he did go find, whether he found the sponsorship money or he dipped into his own pocket and self-funded it, I don't know. But it started the conversation at least, and now it's come to this. And I really think it does take someone like a Brandon and an RJ who have the infrastructure in place. They've got the facility to be able to pull something like this off. So I like where it's going. I'm intrigued by the idea. Don't know that my calendar is going to necessarily permit me to be there. I'd be wonderful if I could. I'll know that in the next couple of months, but that's my thoughts. I like the idea as a once or twice a year kind of a deal.
Mm-hmm. And I think, and I agree with everything you said there, and I really agree with Jared Glover.
Well, then you're going to need something fast with the TDI Golf.
But I'd still like to see what Evan does with a TDI Golf.
Evan, I won't give away what it is, but I want you to finish what's already in your garage, all right? Just work on that.
Are you telling people to limit the number of irons they have in the fire again?
Finish one thing. Don't start 13.
That's not the way we do things.
Hey, there could... You can be a Jack Stan Jimmy if you like, or you can be a finished guy who's actually out enjoying something.
I'll give you that. But Evan, I hope that golf rips, and I'll bet it probably does. Knowing the kind of people you hang around with, it does. So that makes me happy.
He'll have Seth put compounds on it.
Huh?
He'll have Seth put compounds on it.
That'd work. I could get down with that. I'm glad to see that promoters, and I thought it was really interesting that pretty much the second that RJ said, "All right, boys and girls, here's what's happening," immediately the conversation started happening, and I heard about two or three different events that were pretty much primed to pull the trigger on it, immediately. As soon as RJ came out and said, "All right, boys, we're going to do this," that was all the incentive that they needed. And you know what? If that's what it takes, I'll buy RJ a drink for that, for providing the necessary kick in the behind.
Do we know how he's doing?
Shot of confidence in the arm.
Do you know what he's doing with entry? I kind of fell off the radar like last Thursday to do what I've been doing for the last 6 days. I know 4-1s and pros were filled. I don't know. I think minis were still a struggle.
Yeah, I think minis will fill. I think those guys will fill. And honestly, I kind of feel like all of those classes should. I mean, there's enough of them, and there's enough who won't think twice about throwing down and scattering parts on the track to win.
Sure.
You know, we just need to get, and we ran into, I mean, you know this, we ran into the same trouble with TPC, you know,
it was
always a last minute struggle. And I know it was this year too. You know, guys don't want to commit. And, you know, it's like,
and before you start,
aren't they committed this to you? Huh?
Before you start filling the comments about the TPC website, we know it's down. We know it's a problem. Brent and I will get that fixed. Don't worry. Didn't go anywhere. We'll be back.
I was not aware. That's all right.
Yep. I found out yesterday. I know what the issue is, and we'll get it fixed. Don't worry. Not going anywhere.
Fair. Fair. So, but no, I think we'll have, I think we'll get those classes filled. I think it'll take longer than RJ wants. But it is, you know, it is what it is. Oh, the audio engineer has told me I need to move my mic. Thanks, Cody. So now I get to get pummeled in the head by this microphone.
Hey, I don't mind having microphones in my face. I wish mine would behave itself. Actually, it's not the microphone. It's not working. Anyway.
Well, we got people who are asking questions all over the place here. You want to start trying to knock some of them out?
We can do that.
This is apparently going to be the shoot from the hip show.
Seinfeld show.
Yep. All right. What does 2025 hold for Colin Ross? Can he push the envelope even further and be more dominant than what he was in 24? What do you think?
Depends. I think it will benefit him to have double the data input from the second tractor. It's just how much of fixing both is going to have to happen to keep both going. Yeah, does the feedback benefit him? You bet. But there's no doubt about it that the other guy is going to lean on his just as hard as Colin does. Mm-hmm.
And furthermore, you guys and Shane, you've been in this sport for as long as the rest of us. Have you ever known Colin to sit back on his laurels?
No.
It's not the way he operates.
Nope.
If he's not breaking stuff and you know, he feels like he's not pushing hard enough. I'm sure sometimes he wishes that, you know, things could stay together, but, you know.
For those of you asking about second tractor, yes. Adam Bauer has taken delivery of the – it's a John Deere-bodied machine, but from the top of the exhaust stack to the bottom of the oil pan, the engines are the same. So we'll see.
How did Shane not know that? Shane is like the social butterfly of it. Shane, what's the matter? Pay attention, son.
It's harvest season.
Right. That's true. That's fair. And that's fair. Do we think the weather will hold?
For
no friggin' idea, because we don't know what you're talking about, Shane. Use your words, context.
Yeah, the weather will hold for what? It's late September in Michigan. Yeah, it could be a tornado now and like a blizzard in a half hour.
That's true. Let's see. Next one in the rapid fire, resurgence of alternate power plants in classes, Cummins Killer, Casey's Oliver, and the Warpath is back. These all sound like V8 things.
I think it's good. I like seeing alternate power plants be out there. Be interesting to see what next year holds if they continue to push and do the same and keep development up.
I don't know. Who's pushing the development in each of those three teams? Are they pushing to go further, go harder, or? I mean, obviously Jeremy builds the Cummins Killer power.
Yeah, and it's Performance Pros on the chassis work. I've heard some rumors about that particular team and their direction. I'm not going to reveal those right now. Casey's, I don't know who's doing the work on their Oliver. I really don't. Every time I see him, it's a thought of mine to ask, and then I always forget to do it. I don't know. And in the case of Cope, I mean, he's doing it himself. You know, he'll figure it out. And I understand he does have things in the works for the Warpath that would take it up a notch. We'll just see how far he gets, and I'll leave that one there too. That story has a lot more to it, but I don't want to get into it tonight.
You're all about just like dangling the breadcrumbs here.
Yeah. The right people do the right homework, you'll figure it out.
I ain't got time for homework anymore.
Neither do I. That's why I'm asking you to do it for me. No, I'm kidding.
Mm-hmm. So what else is on the list?
I don't know. Do we have anything else from that we needed to address? Oh, you know what? I did want to go up and hit one real quick. Wasn't a question necessarily, but I did want to say that, Shane, we appreciate that from you, buddy. You're a good dude.
Yeah, we do. Thank you.
Thank you for that one. Let's see. What else do I have in the potpourri? Here's another random one, totally off subject of the polling, but we'll just keep it going that way that it's all over the map. We now know who the third Stig was.
Yes. You know, yes, and the name escapes me, but you probably got it in front of you somewhere.
I do have it, yeah. Perry McCarthy was the Black Stig in 02 and 03, the first 2 years. Then Ben Collins is the one that, like, everybody knows. He's been very open about it. He was White Stig from 04 to 10. We didn't know who took over from Ben Collins after he wrote his book and has done it right up until the show canceled. And now we know it was British GT racer Phil Keane has been the Stig for the last 13 years, whatever it was. And pretty remarkable that it's been there for a lot of years, and for the biggest years of the program, he was there.
Huh?
And that's pretty remarkable that for all of that time, I mean, this wasn't just a popular show for gearheads. This was a worldwide phenomenon show. But they were able to keep that quiet for 13 years, who this guy was. And was it even a guy? I mean, for a lot of years, there was suspicions that it was Sabine Schmitz until she passed away.
Yep.
On the show. Right. So, yeah, that's kind of cool that they were able to keep that under wraps.
Mick, well, they kept it under wraps from Mick. So I think you're going to have to do some educating here.
Mick,
this is the kind of educating that you will very much enjoy.
The Stig was the Top Gear television show's tame racing driver who tested all the cars, and his claim to fame that was he never spoke because most racing drivers aren't capable of an intelligent comment.
Yeah.
Sorry if that indicts most of our audience.
Harsh. Harsh.
I was not the one who conceptualized it.
Let's hear the brain dump.
Oh yeah, on that deal. Yeah, it was actually during this program when we last did it 2 weeks ago that Tony offered up the chance to drive. And initially my thought was that it was for OG Dirty Hooker, which is, you know, kind of now retired to an occasional sled pulls and being lovingly cared for and the occasional street drive. And then before the program was over, he upped the ante and said, no, cheap, the 3.6 truck. And, I wasn't going to say no, of course, but, I don't mind saying the idea was a little intimidating and no one ever asked. I wouldn't presume on our friendship like that. For him to do that was very, very generous. I definitely took it seriously and was my main concern was I know the truck would keep me safe. You know, I've been around it for it's been 11 years since you built that, Tony. Seen it go down the track hundreds of times. I knew what it would do. In terms of like that, I'd be okay. It's just, could I get it off the line without the bounce and get it to behave itself? And about 90 minutes before go time, I won't mind saying that, yeah, I started to get anxious, a little bit nervous about it. And once getting the walkthrough of all the controls, how the truck behaves, what it does, and how it does it, and getting Tony's input on what to expect from the run, I have to say that 11 years of development has never been more evident in a machine. I'm not going to say that it was easy to drive. Nothing that makes 2,000 horsepower is easy to drive. It's not. But the manners that it has and the way that the controls behave have definitely been extremely refined over a long, long time. And everything that he told me the truck would do, it did it exactly the way he said it would do it and when it would do it. And I don't mind saying that's the nicest clutch I've ever driven on anything ever. Absolutely not super heavy effort, very linear. It didn't take me more than moving it a few feet to start feeling what it was doing through the pedal. And that's credit and testament to Tony and his hard work to make that truck be what it is. Everything's been thought about preserving the battery. So, you know, it's got electric over hydraulic for the steering. Well, you don't want that pump running all the time because it'll drain the battery down. So on the throttle handle, he's got a little button there that when you need to move the wheel, you just dip the button at the same time you move the wheel, and it'll go from impossible to move with two Hulk arms to, oh, you can move this with one hand. And kind of figuring out the timing of that took a little bit to steer it out on the track. That would take some getting used to, I suppose. And but other than that, you know, getting it out there on the track, and it's a clutch drop box reverser, but if there's a trans brake lever in there, so if it doesn't want to pull in the gear, you feel it, you know, grinding teeth a little bit. So that shaft spinning, shove that lever forward and it will come into gear. And it's a nice, easy throw once it does line up. The throttle is essentially drive by wire. So it is probably the hardest part of the whole thing. It's very light. If you're used to driving like a modified or something where you're connected through springs to an actual throttle butterfly through whatever, 12 feet of cable, there's some weight to it there. And this is very, very light. So I had to be almost like driving a blower tractor, be hyper cognizant of not bumping it too hard, just moving the truck around, because you will get that instant lurch out of the thing. And got it backed up and hitched up. And at that point, you know, I was done being nervous about it. I was just focused in on the task at hand. I don't know how Tony felt. I think by that point, he was maybe a little nervous. But we got everything turned on, chain tightened up, took the green flags. And he told me to try to get it out of the hole at 4,200. And if it falls below 4, you know, you're going to have a problem because the charger's not going to want to light. But he also told me, he's never pulled back on the throttle before coming out, so just go. And so I went maybe a little too early, too quick on the throttle, because it did pull down to 4. So I started getting concerned that I wasn't going to get the turbo up. So I did push it down pretty quick, quicker than you should, while still bringing the clutch out. And the dashboard on there, it's a little Bosch dashboard, not much bigger than an index card. The top slider's your tack. And underneath, it's a boost gauge. And about a second and a half into the run, that boost gauge went from red to pegged. And it was like, holy shit, here we go. And you could feel the whole truck just rise up out of the dirt and go. And it was a hell of a ride. The whole thing vibrates. You can feel the power. Definitely feel it. Down track, I probably didn't have enough grip on the steering wheel, because twice it tried to pull me left. There's a hole down there. And it definitely caught it with the front end. I don't know. I did an okay job, I guess, steering it back straight to where I wanted to be. I finished where I wanted to in terms of the track read. But, yeah, what a hell of a ride. And just can't thank Tony enough for the generosity and allowing me to do it. For years, whenever I've gotten an opportunity like this to do something like that, I've always kind of fed it back into the idea that, well, it makes me a better announcer and I understand what the guys go through. And that's true, but what I guess I've never really said in any of these instances when I've gotten to do it is, there's a big piece of me down deep inside that just has that ego saying, I need to know if I can do this too. And I got to just prove it to myself that I can get in there and I can do it. So over the years, I've had the opportunity to drive a pretty good variety of different stuff and haven't really made anybody look stupid for letting me get in the seat yet. And that's, in addition to having to prove it to myself that I can do it, that's my pride showing through a little bit too. I don't want to embarrass anyone, least of all myself, for being granted that opportunity. So I'm very thankful for it.
Boy, that kind of makes my weekend kind of lackluster. Because I kind of didn't do anything. I certainly didn't strap into a 2,000 horsepower rocket.
Yeah, it was an absolute riot. David, would you do it again? Hell yes, I'd do it again, especially now, because now that I've done it once, like there were a couple things that I was like, okay, you kind of did that wrong. Now I know how I would do it, some things I would do differently. And sure, yeah, I would love to, but that's not up to me anyway.
Cody is currently about to be pummeled by 140 mile an hour sustained winds as this thing makes landfall. Apparently it's coming pretty imminently. Oof. But apparently he still has internet because he's still monitoring us.
Yeah, he's still watching. So, mm-hmm.
So we appreciate that. Alan, I don't. For several reasons. He just strapped into that thing and he talked for 10 minutes about it, and his blood pressure, you know, went up, and his hair curled a little bit more, and I hate that about him. Best hair in pulling, what?
And I never let it grow out.
You get it shaved once a year, well, maybe.
Which will not be happening.
But I don't need that because I have the addictive personality type. I'm the last person on this planet who needs to own or operate a pulling team or turn a wrench. So no,
wrenching can get just as equally as addictive.
Huh?
Wrenching can get equally addictive.
Very much so.
Witness my obsession that I wound up developing over chainsaws. I mean, come on, I got stupid.
You did get stupid. But yeah, you also have some nitro-powered chainsaws to show for it.
No, they're all still gassers, but...
Are they?
Yeah. I didn't go quite that far. The ported gas ones I got scared the crap out of me enough as they are.
Well, Alan, thank you for offering to take pictures. If you go and look at my album from Atlantic, you'll see the time that Cody drafted Brad Stoll into service as a photographer, and I happened to catch that moment, and you can see Cody's laughing hysterically, I don't have that desire because I know what kind of rush it would be, and I know if that got in my veins, bad shit would happen. So let's not tempt ourselves. I'll stick with fast cars once in a while.
Thank you, Brian. And thank you very much, Tony. It's your coaching is what did it. Watching you over the years and how you've handled that truck and your walkthrough, excellent.
Alan, yes. I think that'd be an interesting thing to do too.
Concept. Yep, that's a fantastic concept.
Yeah,
I thought maybe, about trying to do similar here.
Yeah, maybe we need to. Maybe you and I and Charles need to get our heads together around that.
Yeah, I like that idea.
That might be interesting. That might be fun to watch. Every now and again, you get to see a little bit of it I get to see a little bit of it with you and your Snapchat. Tyler Slaw is the same way, and Bruce is too, to a lesser extent. Seeing that, the maintenance day and all that kind of stuff, that'd be interesting to see.
Yep. Tim, I agree with you, and I'll tell you, it doesn't matter if I'm driving something like that or a 40 horsepower antique or even an ounce on the show. Before the program, I've been doing this for 24 years, 30 nights a summer. I get the adrenaline pumping 5 minutes before go time every time. And if you're not getting that, if you're not getting that charge out of it, what are you even doing it for? And the time, the time that I don't get that, I know it's time to hang up the microphone. I'm done. It's over now.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sean, I can't help you with that. I do not know the answer. But my guess is that somebody who's watching probably does know. I don't know, though.
I'll go take a look. I, like I said, I have not done my end of season deep dive like I kind of usually do, just nerd stuff, but maybe this weekend I'll have time to. Or certainly before the next show anyway. We'll see.
This is far more information about you than we ever wanted to know, Tony. Just saying.
And I will vouch for that statement because he's said it many times. That's not a new admission.
What happens if it's only four times?
You drink more. You're dehydrated. You're going to be in trouble.
The turbo doesn't light, or, I mean, the truck veers to the right, or what?
That injector got leaned out.
That's terrible. It's terrible. Well, what else do we have to talk about? Do we have anything else? Or
the diesel drag race and last race of the year. Well, that's not true. Last ODSS points race of the year this past weekend out in Pennsylvania. A new track for us. Keystone Drag Race.
What was that track, by the way?
That place
track was a good facility.
It's a really nice place. It's maybe half hour straight due east out of Pittsburgh. Concrete to about 200 feet, and then it does switch to asphalt. And some of the guys were struggling a little bit at the transition, but I mean, it's a full quarter mile track. Nice grandstands, awesome sound system. If you were a participant in the race weekend, the promoters, Nathan and Amy Snyder from Snyder Performance Engineering, spoiled the crap out of us. I mean, catered breakfast, lunch, dinner. And not like not just masticholi and some dry fried chicken, like legit good food. Very, very impressed. And sounds like we get to go back and have the finals be there, you know, again next year. You know, ink's not dry on the paper yet, but the plan is also that a sled pull track is going to get built on the property. So there will be sled pulling there next year. This year, there was an NTPA Region 2 hook about 12 minutes away at a fairgrounds. I guess the intention is to either do something different or bring that event over to us for something else to look at on the property. They're going to have a dyno, I guess, show up. I don't know about a burnout pad, but maybe in the future that's going to be part of the program as well to kind of have this be on a level of a Scheid or a UCC in terms of engagement with people. There was a car show there this year to go along with, and just kind of give an all-encompassing sort of event where there's always something going on, something for you to look at and something for you to see. So I think that's the plan in future. I was impressed. I'm excited to go back. I liked it out there. I liked it out there a lot. None of our champions repeated from last year because a good many of them didn't even repeat, didn't defend them. And it went down to the last race for quite a few. There were some decent leads in some of the sportsman categories where, you know, all the guy had to do was maybe win first round and some didn't. There were some early exits there that sort of kind of screwed it up. But Dustin Minturn took ET. Manuel Yoder in 770, Jeremy Stickney in 670. He was leading wire to wire the first three races, hadn't lost a round, went out in round two at Scheid and still had a pretty decent lead. And at this event, I think he was out first round, he red lit. So he threw the door wide open But some of the guys behind him also lost in early rounds, so he wound up with the title. In 590, Brett Markham won again. Again, didn't defend.
How many times? How many times in a row for Brett?
Not in a row, but I believe this is his fourth. Fourth time in 590. 590 was very competitive all year. Mark Rogge, who won it last year, sold the truck, and Ben Francis made his debut with it this weekend. He did pretty well. So it was nice to see that machine back in action again. It's been around the sport for a long time. Won a lot of titles for Rod McMaster before Mark got it. So it was nice to see that back out there going. Sorry, Ned Wallace, sir, in the middle of a show. I'll have to call you back. Pro Street went to the final. Paul Cato had a 10-point edge on Justin Ziegler, and it was race of the year between those two. Paul finally dipped into 470s for the first time ever with that truck. He won the final round of Pro Street by 2.26 inches. The margin of victory in terms of time, 0.0008 seconds, 0.008 at the stripe.
Wow.
Incredibly close race. So that was cool. Pro Mod went to a final as well. Austin Deutsch and his truck had a 6-point edge on Larson Miller, and both drivers had to pedal it in the final where they met each other, and Larson was able to recover quicker with the duster. So it is the champion. And then in Pro Dragster, Michael Cordova already had the title locked up. He didn't need to show up for the weekend, and he didn't. Didn't really find out why he wasn't there, but he was not. But Paul Vasco was. He returned to the track, totally redid his car over the last year. It's now got one of Jeremy's LML-style billet Duramax blocks in it. And his personal best when he left off last year was like 4.03. And he blew right through that, dipped down to a 390 and change, and flirted with cracking 200. His last go down the track, though, it rattled the tires so hard that it launched a boost tube off the car. I'm sure it broke a lot of stuff. It was violent. But really happy for Paul to make a return to the racetrack and do well. So that's the end of season recap for Outlaw Diesel Super Series. We do have some racing left for the year in about 2.5 weeks. Diesel Truck Wars will be out in North Carolina, way out in North Carolina, like almost the Outer Banks. And that same weekend, there is a bunch of trucks going to No Mercy in Georgia to race No Time. So a bunch of diesel trucks are going to be down there. I think there's like 10 of them going.
Who's covering that? Do you know? Is that going to be a Flow thing, or is that?
Yeah, it should be Flow. Yeah, it should be on Flow.
Good.
Yep.
Good. What's this deal in Grand Blanc that Tony's talking about?
There is some truck show going on. Is it in Grand Blanc or at Tri-Cities? Greg Alberala was talking about it. Truck show, burnout pad, maybe a dyno or something. I don't know that there's going to be necessarily any. Well, there might be racing going on, but there's no drag strip there. I thought Tri-City was around here on track.
Eli says it's Mid-Michigan Mayhem.
Yeah. Yep. 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 I'm not going to be there because there's a sled pull in Merrill about 25 minutes to the west of there. So I'm going to go. I will be announcing at that.
Nice. Do we want to talk about Randy's truck? Since that was probably one of the best documented explosions in history.
Yeah, probably was. Randy Reyes has a third-gen one-ton truck he calls Red Delicious. It was his UCC truck way back when. And primarily all the truck has ever been has been a Dino Queen out in the Pacific Northwest where he's in Salt Lake City. Out there, there's a thing called the Northwest Dino Circuit where that's all they do is dino competitions, and that's really what the truck was ever built for. And he brought it to UCC and kicked 3,000 horsepower on the rollers and put a window on the side of the block, effectively ending his weekend. He was out at,
into order and into orbit.
Yep. Yep. He was at another event this past weekend. I don't know exactly which one it was. I want to say Weekend on the Edge, but I don't think that's correct. Whatever. Another one in the Pacific Northwest. And 2,700 and change, he did a tracker puller style block separation and tossed it up. Nobody got hurt, which is the important thing. They've learned a lot since Sean Baca did it about personal protection and clearance from the dyno, keeping people back and whatnot. So all those things worked. A lot of people saw pictures and I saw the comments quite frequently. Well, where were the cables? It had them, two of them, in the wrong place. They were between 3 and 4, not between 1 and 2. Now, what it did do when it kicked it up was, yeah, the cables held. They didn't fail, okay? And they had the slack in them that's required. Engine went up, and it fell back down, basically on top of the bottom half like it was supposed to. It did ejecto pistono in a couple directions, which kind of makes me nervous to see. But with one of these failures, you're going to have that happen, okay? But what it did do was it punched the top of the cowling up and ripped a hole about this big that from the left fender well, you could look through it and see the door card of the passenger side door. Any fire was going in through that firewall in that case. Now, here's the other side of that scenario. Had the cables been in the correct place, wouldn't have mattered. It would have still done that damage. It just would have pitched it up and still whipped it anyway, because the Cummins engine is back. Number 6 is back underneath the cowling and the front part of the windshield. So how do you prevent that? I don't know. I don't know what you do there.
Yeah, all I can think of is back in the day, like when you and I did UCC together, and I think that was the year that KJ was there and Jason was there and Darren, and I think we had pretty much the whole crew. It was Andrew's last year, I think. I remember watching where Elmer was standing most of the day.
Yeah.
And thinking what would have happened to him as I watched his TikTok video of it. All I could think of was, God, if he'd been standing where he normally was, he would have caught some pretty significant chunks of metal in his chest as well as his face hole.
Yeah. I mean, that dyno is the King Kong daddy for its style of what it does, and both those boys have been hurt on it. Cody was burned in Sean's deal, and Elmer's been the operator on it and had the driver's side tire come apart, and it whipped him so hard it broke his arm. So he knows too. It's that deal is scary. Deal is scary. Yeah, I don't blame you there on that one. Even though his profile picture in this is of the dyno setup for last minute.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm glad we're blood brothers on that whole deal, but I don't want to do it again.
Zach, have we looked into the rear end of Cookie Monster? Have we done any digging, or are we just leaving that for another day?
I hadn't heard
anything from you about it.
I'd heard a preliminary update, and it wasn't in the rear, but.
Oh. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, Zach, you've been part of two of those deals. Yeah, you've seen it twice.
Yeah. Ah. There you go. It was the transmission.
Okay, I wasn't going to say it. I was going to let you. I didn't know if that was necessarily public knowledge yet.
Interesting. Okay. we'll leave that alone. We'll leave that alone. I did not know this. Did you know this?
Oh yeah, kicked a hole right at the above the luxury suites where it said Lucas Oil Indianapolis Raceway Park. When Power Driven's truck blew up, it one of those pistons kicked a hole in the center of the P up there. And it was that way for a couple of years. It's been replaced now, but it was that way for a couple of years.
I didn't know that. I guess I didn't
Zach's
know
other,
that.
There's Zach's other comment. I knew that was coming. Components not needed.
Which one of you idiots gave him a giant paddle with which to stir the pot? Like somebody went to Shields or, you know, Dick's and said, I need the biggest paddle you got.
You know what? I used to rail so hard against it, and I've been so worn out by the conversation and the argument that last time it really came up on this show, I lost my shit and I just said, I don't care, do whatever the hell you want. And that's where I'm at. I'm staying there.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. You're like, moving on, please.
Yep.
Let's see. I felt like we missed something.
There was one way up there. I don't know if I remember.
Antique season continues to roll on. I think antiques pull pretty much 52 weeks a year, don't they?
Yeah, the indoor season particularly is starting to ramp up here now. We aren't too far away from, gosh, there's a new venue being visited, I believe, in Missouri to kick off the NATPA season. I don't have that.
That is correct.
Yeah.
It is just north of Hannibal. And James is going to help me with the name of that town right about now.
How about now?
Yeah. I can't remember. I drive through that town all the time. I just can't.
My Google foo is being slow. Sorry.
Oh, for good grief. Next town north of Hannibal on 61.
Oh, well, there's the summer flyer. Where the heck did the schedule go? That's not helpful. Well, whatever. The thing with
there
the guy.
17,000 tractors that are going to converge upon this small town, and they will make laps, probably 6 or 8 or 10 dozen of them apiece, depending on how much they want to sling weight.
Yep. It's not for you. As I tell the antique pullers, it's not for them. It's for us. A lot of people, I don't want to watch them paint dryers. Well, fine. Don't. It's not for you. Mm-hmm. I do miss getting to some of them big outlaw antique events. I know I got asked a couple times this summer, hey, are you ever going to make it back to like Tunica or Enola, Oklahoma? Someday. It's just hard.
Long live the Kang.
Long live the Kang.
That's right. Moose, before we end, we do want to talk about that. However, I'm not the right guy to actually address that. Can I send you the link and you hop on with us? Or can I send it to Wyatt and Wyatt pass it along? Hang on.
Yep. You guys can sort that one out because I literally have no idea. It's regional to you guys much more than it is to myself, so I don't know.
While you're waiting, check the text message thread, the sidetrack thread. I think it will be funny, and it may count as proof of life for Cody.
It's very blurry, but he appears to be somewhere.
Palmyra.
Did you mute it and listen to whatever he sent?
No, I didn't.
Hang on. Or it's just the audio of whatever that screenshot is of. So if he got, if that 140 mile per hour gust happened to shoot him rocketing past a Weather Channel forecaster standing in a foyer because he's smart rather than out in the street like Cody may have been, you might have seen him on TV.
And that might be awesome. If so, go back and like record that section because Cody's weren't made to fly.
No.
Zach, I have not killed that bottle yet. I'm waiting to kill it with a very dear friend of mine from up in Boone. So I saved him a little bit, and we're going to kill it together.
Should I
tell you, it was a tasty bottle.
Should I send him a text back asking if somebody jammed an antenna in his ass and turned him into a drone?
I feel like he's going to answer in the comments with that allegation. Oh, good grief.
Oh, no.
Are you even old enough to drink it yet?
No, he photobombed it. He photobombed it. Goofball.
Nice. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Where's my tequila from Louisville? Actually, you know what, Jamie? Sit tight. I will show you where it is. I do have a bottle.
Oh, boy. And we are devolving in. We are steadily crashing our way towards 10 p.m. and Sidetracked After Dark.
That's right.
What would it be without that happening?
And by a show of hands, is there anybody in who's watching tonight who's a tequila fan? And I'm not talking like the, oh, my God, cut up some limes and some salt and let's get funky. I'm talking about I like tequila and I'm going to drink tequila. Because if so, I have a bottle recommendation for you. Maestro Dobel. Get the añejo. This is, if I remember correctly, this is a single barrel tequila. It's not stupid expensive. It's like $40. This is the smoothest tequila I have ever had. And I promised this bottle to Jamie. Win, lose, or draw. And then I never really got to any outlaw hooks where I can give it to her. So this one's yours, honey.
Unscrew cap, place directly in toilet.
No.
I don't do tequila.
Oh, this stuff is so good. This stuff is so good. I could change your mind.
Nope.
And Mark Ham says that he has a barrel pick of it at the. Ooh, that's awesome.
I still have the scars from the last time and the time before that. Nope.
Game on. I will take that bet and I will get you to drink some of this and you will look at me. You will look at me and say, okay, you were right. That's not that horrible.
Yeah. I'll say it's not that horrible. And then we'll drain the bottle and I'll wake up 3 days later in a ditch.
No, because I'm not going to give you all of the bottle. I'm selfish like that. Oh, good grief. Come on. Slaw.
That's well.
Your liver should be freaking invincible. We should be able to dump gasoline in it.
By extension, there's my further point, Tyler. You're 100% right.
Guess I got to bring a good bottle of tequila back to Michigan and drink with you boys. That's all there is to it.
I'd probably sooner let you hit me over the head with it than pour some into me.
That can be arranged as well.
That mine too, Tyler.
This actually wouldn't be your kryptonite. This is throw an ice cube in a glass. This is like bourbon. This is sipping tequila. This isn't shooting. It's tasty stuff. All right. Wyatt is usually like Johnny on the spot with text messages. And I just sent him the link so that he and his brother could hop on and we could talk a little bit of ECI.
Assuming they're together in the same place, though.
Assuming, but I said pass it along to your brother. Wyatt, you're letting me down here.
Get off the Snapchats and pay attention to us.
That's right. Stop talking to Shane. He will be available for comment after the show.
That'll bring Shane back into the comments. That's the Batman signal. That'll fix it.
That is such an appropriate comment.
Bad decisions aren't sold.
No, they kind of just go with the territory, but yeah. Still. All right, Moose, I sent your brother the link. So hop onto that link and then we'll bring you in from the green room. I texted it to you, Wyatt.
Dead air, the death of podcasts.
No, I don't think that we're going to bring this to... This is not a Midwest Winter Nationals kind of thing. With Midwest Winter Nationals, you need something that's going to kind of keep a little bit of... you want a little bit of a bite, just in case it's, you know, it's cold and the ventilation isn't keeping up or it's doing too good a job.
Yeah. And Midwest is a marathon.
This is more... Sit down after dinner, and this is drinking a dessert.
All right. If they're not going to make it in on the ECI thing, we can table the concept if need be. I'm not finding anything else really in my notes to tackle for tonight, because after this, it's just going to get stupid with the comments anyway.
We already had somebody talking about peeing in the comments. It already has gotten stupid.
Okay, fair enough. I don't want to. I'd rather keep it spontaneous.
Thanks, Tony.
I'd rather keep it spontaneous, stupid, than stretch for it, stupid.
Oh, for the love. All right, I'm sending this through Messenger. Hang on. Sit tight.
Okay. So all we know is... Something is up with ECIPA. Details at 10 p.m., 9 Central, provided by Wyatt Schulte, maybe, joining us via satellite.
Yeah. All right, Morg, I just sent it to you. Wyatt has proven unreliable. But no, this is kind of a serious moment.
Okay, worthy subject then.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Man, do we ever do serious after 10?
I don't know. Shane apparently doesn't believe that we do, but you know, whatever.
See, the problem with the phone
call, that would
be
a fantastic idea, but StreamYard doesn't support that.
Nope, and especially with these modern phones that are Bluetooth only, there is literally no way for me to patch that in. None. I would have to get an old school dedicated phone that I could patch into my switchboard, my mixer board, which, as you saw earlier, quit behaving itself. So not going to happen until I upgrade there.
Yeah. And
oops, we're both clicking the same thing at the same time.
Let's just do not me.
Hello.
What's up, Morgan?
How's it going?
What have you got? Because I literally know nothing of what you speak.
Morgan, what's on your screen first before we go down the other road? What's the wallpaper here?
I have a Rebel T6 camera that I took pictures of at certain poles, and I went to TPC this past year, and that's Chris Jeffries General Stupidity GMC.
That's a cool truck. Where's Chris from?
PA, I think.
Okay, so New York. Been there. He drove a ways.
Mm-hmm. So, so what we're going to talk about, is it's a heartfelt subject. So at Charles, you don't know about this. So, East Central Iowa Polar Association lost a very near and dear friend to everybody. Bruce knew him.
He's on your board, wasn't he?
Yes, he was. He was our head tech official. He was our head tech official since ECI was founded in 1995. His name was Gary Bear Becker, and they just released his obituary. I'm not sure on the details, and it's not my business to know the details right now, but that's one thing I wanted to touch on. It was just, it was sudden and unexpected that he unfortunately passed away. And, he's been there since the beginning of ECI. And, I think for a couple of years, he went off to do, some tech official for NTPA in the early 2000s. And then, but he's always been with us. And, you can see in the comments, there's just a bunch of outpouring love and support because of, he was a good friend to everybody. He's gotten me some tough situations, and he's got other people out of tough situations. And it's not just because of him being a leader, but he was just a really good guy and a really good friend to everybody.
That he was. He was kind of a gentle giant. They called him Bear for a reason. He was a big boy. I remember the first time I ever met him, I think was, I think it must have been probably the first time that went to Springville, probably 2008, maybe 2010, 11, something like that.
And he was probably on that golf cart, wasn't he?
I've rarely seen Bear not on that golf cart. Yeah. But always a good dude, always with a good smile, you know, always happy to see you, always happy to make conversation for a little bit. Yeah, ECI events are not going to be the same without that guy.
Absolutely not. It's the best I can say is it's going to be hard to find a replacement.
Well, I don't think you do. I don't think there is a replacement for a guy like Bear. I think you find somebody who steps up and takes the responsibilities that he performed, but you'll never find anybody to, you know, really fill those shoes. Those shoes probably need to remain unfilled. And that's how everybody remembers him.
And I like to say too, I mean, for how much he did, he really brought that association to life. I mean, you go back 10, 15 years ago, it was an association that was heard of, and there were people that pulled in it. But with him and the board of directors and everybody that's within the ECI group, it really strived to make this association better. And I can say, in my opinion, it's one of the top three associations out there for truck and tractor pulling, because everybody's so nice and so welcoming. They're always willing to give a helping hand. And the association is ran right.
I would agree. That was the first association that I ever shot, second association I ever shot on a track for. And, you guys open arms welcomed me. And I appreciate that. And I've never forgotten it. I felt guilty for years because I don't get to as many shows, as many ECI shows as I would like to, just to see everybody and catch up and, you know, take photos, and do the things that I do. They've always, that's been kind of a hallmark of ECI, and at least with me, and I know with plenty of others as well. And I know that Bear kind of led that charge for a while until he taught people by example. And so, yeah, he will 110% be missed.
Yeah, and this
year, it's kind of a good reminder to all of us that, you know, life is a gift. Every day is a gift. And yes, I know I sound like machinery Pete right here. I don't care. But, you know, our time on earth is finite. And, it will come to an end someday. And the time here on earth for some of the rest of the people around us will come to an end someday. So the takeaway is don't be shy in telling people how you feel. You know, tell them how you feel about them.
And be appreciative of the tech officials that we do have, because we're kind of short all the way around.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you better learn the tech official book, because you'd better step up.
Yeah, if anyone wants to know more about who he is and stuff like that, his obituary and the description of him is available on East Central Iowa Polars Association Facebook page. And
Lord, why don't you share that? Why don't you throw that link in the comments, would you? Copy and Wyatt, one of the two of you. Between the two of you, your heads can figure it out. We're smart guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, Morg, while you're doing the things, wanted to give you a little bit of a shout out and a call out for doing a nice job with the live stream at Rockwell. I know Mark mentioned it, which means that Mark was watching. And I can tell you that Charles and I watched from a Pizza Hut in Rochester, Indiana, on Friday night. So,
well, I do appreciate that. It was a fun night, and there's only so much you can do off of a $200 Samsung phone trying to live stream. And I was very fortunate, you know, being Rockwell where it's at. You're kind of in the middle. You're not in the middle of nowhere, but you're open. Like, every area of that place is open. And I was just lucky enough that the internet worked perfectly for me that night just to be able to live stream it. And, it was an awesome night. I mean, cool. I've talked to a bunch of the pollers after the first night, and they said – I think we had a little lunch during the Iowa game and stuff like that. And I think the majority of them said they'd come back. And this is I think this is a 2-year deal thing with Tim Nuring and ECI. So they definitely will be back next year as like a 2-year contract.
Well, I'll tell you, for the time we watched, we never saw it buffer or anything. It was – you did a good job.
Not once. And we got to see Jamie Bush's – daughter make her first pass. I think that was her first pass, wasn't it?
I thought she may have done one before that. Maybe.
Okay, maybe so. I don't know, but I felt horrible because I had always told her I've kind of watched that kid grow up, and if there is a youngin future to the Pro Mod 4-wheel drive class, it is her, and she is 110% ate up with it. You guys know it. I was always hopeful to be that I could be there with the camera for her first pass, but if I couldn't, I'm glad we could at least get it on video, because you did a good job of getting it on video.
And what was crazy about it, you know, with me watching, being up close to my camera and stuff, to watching the run, it looked like she, like, everyone has nerves when they're their first time or their 10,000th time getting behind the seat. They're always nervous. Something's going to go wrong. But you saw Jamie on the side, and he was just keeping her calm, kind of trying to walk her through what she needed to do. And as she started to wind up the throttle, let that clutch out, it was a little slow. A little faster. And when he told her to punch it and she punched it, man, that it was like God was on her shoulder, because that thing didn't bounce at all. And it just put a perfectly straight pass down the line.
Well, I mean, it is Rockwell dirt, and she is a Bush, and the Bush family owns that dirt
Nobody can win in Rockwell except Jamie.
Yeah.
So.
And by the way, shout out to Jamie for getting 20 plus forward drives for just a shootout.
That was impressive. That was truly impressive. I was really happy for you guys.
Yeah, they decided to do like a they were going to keep it like NTPA weight 6,200 pounds, but they ran PPO rules, open it up to all the mountain motor trucks. That way they could grow a bigger crowd. And yeah, there was an unfortunate things that happened night one, but a couple of them left for home. They must have had something going on. Other than that, I think we still had 8. I think there's a total of 23 something trucks. And I think night two, we had 18 or 19.
That's a solid. I mean, for ProMod 4x4, that is a very solid return rate. Usually you don't see that.
I was blown away to see Jim Bosch come out. I mean, that must have meant that his point season was over, but that was crazy. I mean, if this is a 2-year deal and they do that again next year, only time will tell what holds for that class next year.
Well, with Jim Bosch, gosh, I have officially lost track of how many states I have taken a picture of him in. That guy, I don't know if there's anybody in the ProMod 4x4 class that puts on more miles than he does. That truck shows up friggin' everywhere. I think the furthest away I've ever seen it, they were in McClough, Kansas a month and a half ago.
I would not be surprised to find out that back in the heyday of U.S. Hot Rod Association, the indoor stuff, that he ran California and Washington State and whatever.
Wow. Yeah, that guy's put on some miles. And if I remember correctly, he's got a couple of people where he'll park the hauler or park the trailer, and he'll go back and, you know, live West Michigan life and do what he does when he's not traveling, and then they'll come back out and they'll pick it up when they need to pick it up, and away we go. So I can't remember exactly where.
I think a lot of the smarter guys do that. You know, it just makes logistical sense.
Yep, I agree. Well, boys, we've been at this for an hour and 40. What do you say? You want to stick a fork in this one? Go get some rest, get some sleep.
We can do so.
And I don't have anything more. Cody has, by now, he's blown away or he's washed out to sea. We'll tip our hats to him.
He's hanging by one arm on a flagpole.
Is that what it is?
No. Probably.
If that's the case, then somebody make a TikTok of it, please.
Just waving in the wind like this.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well,
Power's out on the east side in Bradenton, so I can only imagine what he's experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a one last comment about Bear, and there's a good buddy of mine, or a good friend of mine, Bill Rolfus, as he always, Bob Rolfus, his brother, as he likes to say on almost every post he makes on Getting Hooked Pulling Association Facebook page, one last comment for Bear is, We're all in this together, and we'll just keep pulling 300 feet at a time.
Or more. Because I know who the president of VCI is, and he doesn't mind running a 330 or 340-foot track.
And he's proven it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right, boys. Thank you for jumping on. I know it was last minute. I had intended to actually reach out to you guys prior to get you to jump on. I wasn't about to let that go. Bear was, I mean, he's a staple of ECI pulling for years. I didn't realize that he was there from the very start, that he was a founding member. But damn good guy. I'll raise a glass to him 8 days a week. So I know that the family is planning some sort of a celebration of life. If I had to guess, probably is going to coincide with something ECI related. If you guys can, please keep me updated. Keep me looped in as to what that is and when that is and the dates and all that. If I can make it, I will. Other than that, to all the audience, thank you for watching. We appreciate all of you. You all have a voice in this sport. We want to hear it. Share your opinions. Share the media. Share the photos. Share what you see at tractor pulls that make them great. Share what you see that make them not great or that are learning opportunities. You know, together, we'll do what we can to make this sport a more fun place to be and hang out and more fun to hang out with our pulling family. So, Charles, any last words of wisdom from you?
Cody has not blown away, but he did send a radial velocity radar update.
Holy hell!
Yeah.
Wow.
Hurricane is hitting the shore at 163 miles an hour.
That's impressive.
Oof. Yeah.
So if you're down in Florida and you still have internet, that's amazing. Go to a safe place and then maybe please, you know, live stream. Just kind of hold your phone up to the window like this.
Don't trust the plywood.
And don't trust the plywood. 100%. And with that being said, guys, till next time. Take care, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Ryan, stay on if you would, please.
I will. All right.
That was wonderful.
Bravo.
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away.
Hey, boo.
Boo.